Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, our children are gone. Our family are falling apart. We as a nation have totally failed.
Oh, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Heal our land.
Radio, if my people, this is your host, Pastor Leona Ross. Today we are going to be continuing our study on the mind. What are your thoughts? Today's show is entitled Stop Thinking. Just stop thinking. We're going to be looking at the concept of reasoning and how reasoning can sometimes derail your purpose in God. It can derail the will of God for your life. Point in fact, how we reason that we can't do something that God has called us to do. We make so many excuses. We say we can't do this because of this reason or that reason. And we're going to be looking at some of the characters in the Bible who thought that they couldn't do it, but in the end, they went on to do great works. And if we serve the same God as we serve the same God, we surely know that all things are possible because we believe. Right now, we're going to listen to some Darwin Hobbs, Bless the Lord with Me, as well as some For King and Country Joy. And I'll return after that, and we'll get started on this phenomenal conversation. I know it's going to bless your soul.
The Lord with me.
Lately I've been reeling, watching the nightly news. Don't seem to find the rhythm, just wanna sing the blues. Feels like a song that never stops. Feels like it's never gonna.
Gotta get that fire back in my bones before my heart turns into stone. So when somebody please pass the megaphone, I'll shout it on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Oh, hear my prayer tonight. I'm singing to the sky. Give me strength to raise my voice and to testify.
Call in at 516-531-9550. Again, that call-in number is 516-531-9550. Or you can log on to blogtalkradio.com/RRL345. Again, that's blogtalkradio, all one word, .com/RRL345. And you'll be able to listen in or jump into the chat room if you want to type in your comments. Now, if you want to type in the comments and be a part of the conversation in the chat room, you're going to have to create a user ID, and then you will be allowed to type in some notes or respond to the conversation. But the easiest way is just to call in at 516-531-9550. All right, we're talking about stop thinking. We're talking about the tricks of the mind. When God has given us an assignment, and God already knows, because he is God, that we are able to complete that assignment. However, sometimes we doubt ourselves. See, sometimes we doubt ourselves because we just think that we can't do it. The things that we've been through, the sins that we've committed, in other words, we disqualify ourselves. Sometimes we're like Moses, and I want you to go with me, if you have your Bibles, because I'm just going to read over it really quick. Moses in Exodus 4, when God told him, and this is just an example, Exodus chapter 4, when God told him to go back to Egypt, Moses, and deliver my people. Tell Pharaoh, I said, set my people free. So we're going to start at verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me. How many of you have said that? When God has given you an assignment or called you to do something, it doesn't necessarily have to be a pastor or a preacher or evangelist or any of that. Just anything in the ministry of God. If he's called you just to go feed the homeless, and you think, well, God, where am I going to get the food? Knowing that God is a provider and that he will provide. So this is Moses saying, they're not going to believe me. They're not going to listen to me. But they'll say, who is this Lord that the Lord has not sent you? He ain't appeared unto you. Ain't nobody else seen God. So why is it that we're going to believe that you saw God, that you had a conversation with God, that you called by God? How many of us in ministry have heard that? Especially women. Women clergy, women pastors, oh no, they have to fight the gender fight when the Bible clearly states that there's no gender in God. God is a spirit. We only have gender to procreate in the earth realm. See? When we're so-called walking around heaven, there's no need for our gender. That's why Adam and Eve were naked. It didn't matter. Because all God did was speak and everything was created. See, so nakedness didn't, it wasn't a shameful thing until the fall. See, because everything that God created, what did he say? He said it was beautifully and wonderfully made. See, Exodus chapter 4, verse 2, and the Lord said unto him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand and take it up by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and he took it out. Behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put that hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand unto his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as all his other flesh. And God said, it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken the voice of the first sign, that they shall believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. So these are signs. This is the power of the living God that Moses has received from God himself. He's telling him, listen, I'm giving you the power to do these things, to convince these people that I have sent you, because no other entity in the earth is able to do this. See, so now Moses say, okay, I got your power. I see. I know you, God. But what about?
So then he takes it from the people. No longer is he saying what the people won't believe, because God has muted that point. That's not a valid point anymore. We're talking about reasoning in your mind, see? So that's not a valid point. So Moses starts looking at his deficiency. And he says, and Moses said unto the Lord in verse 10, Exodus 4, verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Listen, God, I don't talk that well. I stutter. I know you telling me to go and speak to these people. I know you calling me into leadership, but how can I talk when I stutter? They're not going to listen to me. And then God said unto Moses, he said, who have made man's mouth? Or who make thee dumb or the deaf or the seeing? Who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now, therefore, go, and I will be thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. So now he nixed another reason. See, this is Moses trying to reason with God why he can't do what God has called him to do. See? He's reasoning. He's telling God, listen, I can't do it. I can't do it, and this is why I can't do it. First, the people ain't going to believe me. Now I can't talk. So now God out those two things, and Moses, he won't quit. He won't quit. God done told him just now, go there for it. Just go, Moses. I'm already with you. I'm with you, man. Just go. That wasn't enough. And so Moses said in verse 13, he said, oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by thy hand him whom thou wilt send. He's telling God to send whom he will send. He's sending you, Moses. Y'all say that to yourself. He's sending me. See, send who you will send. See? In other words, Moses is saying, God, send anybody but me. Don't send me. Don't please don't send me. I you know, because I just can't do it. It's not in me to do it. But we have to realize that which we see is not what God sees. That is not what God sees. He sees that which he has put in us before he sent us unto the earth. See? You realize that? See? God knows what he put on the inside of us. He knows what purpose we have, and he knows that we are more than able to accomplish that purpose if we do not allow reason to set in and stop us, to allow reason to set in and defeat us. Moses came up with all these excuses, and still God said, go. No, I'm not accepting that, because I know what's down on the inside of you. Remember, the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. See? So sometimes that enemy can be our own self. So then we get to verse 14 now, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Now he angry with Moses, because Moses trying to tell him that what he created ain't sufficient enough, or is not good enough to do what God called him to do when he created you. So God knows already. You just don't know. You're only going to find out in the going and the doing. That's what faith is. Faith thinks that a lot of people mistake faith for just believing God. No, it's when you go and do, when you put your hands on the very thing that God has called you to do, and you see the evidence of it. Faith is in the moving. It's not in the sitting. See? Faith is in the moving on the word of God, not just sitting there and say, I believe God. Case in point, how many of you have been promised, or you got a word spoken over you that God was going to bless you, say, example, with a car? Did you just sit at home and thank God for the car and never go to the car lot? Then how are you going to get that which God has promised? It's in the doing. You can believe all day. You can say, I have faith all day, but until you get to that car lot, fill out that application, whether you think you're qualified, whether you think that your credit is good enough or not, it's in the doing. It's in the going. And that's how God can show that he's God in your life. Those people would have never gotten free out of Egypt if Moses had never went there and did what God had instructed him to do. So then God had to get angry with him and ask him, he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he's coming forth to meet you now. And when he see you, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And you shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thy hand wherewith thou shalt do signs. In other words, I've eliminated all of your excuses. Now go, Moses. Go. Because now I'm sending your brother with you. See? I'm sending your brother with you now, and you're going to tell him what to say, and he's going to say it, and you're going to be fine. But there is not an option for you not to go. Let me say that again. There is not an option for you not to go. In other words, you don't have a choice. I've eliminated all of your excuses. We're putting reasoning out of the way. You've got to go. All your excuses are gone. They're gone, Moses. So now I just need you to go set your little house in order and get on back to Egypt. Get on back to Egypt. See? Because now you have to understand, this is what you were purposed for. This is why you were sent down the Nile, raised in Pharaoh's house. This is why your life was not taken. Have you ever looked back over your life? You know, those of you who are in ministry, or those of you who know that, you know, the things that you did while you weren't saved, before you came to Christ, or the things that you did in your life when you knew you should have died. You knew you weren't supposed to be here. But yet and still you're here. Because why? God kept you for such a time as this. See, he kept you for such a time that he would need you in the earth according to his will for your life, not yours. See, another person that made an excuse. Remember Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah? See, he said in the year, Isaiah 6, chapter 6 and 1, it said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. Here is Isaiah in the presence of the Lord, describing what is going on all around him. Verse 2 says, and twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. That means twain means two. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. In other words, Isaiah's in God's presence and telling himself that I ain't even worthy to be here. I ain't saved. I ain't clean. How did I get here? Why am I here? I ain't even supposed to be here. And God, knowing, being God, already knowing your thoughts, in verse 6, Isaiah 6 and 6, he said, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. See, once Isaiah got rid of his problem, he said, okay, good, I'm ready to go now. Moses kept making excuses. See, Isaiah was reasoning, listen, I'm not clean enough. I can't go. I don't even know why I'm here. Why am I in your presence? But once that issue was eliminated, see, Isaiah said, hey, I'll go, send me. And then God told him, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? See, now here is Isaiah now wanting to know, okay, how long do I need to go? And he answers, until the city be wasted without inhabitants, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. Giving him the conditions of things that are going to, when you go, this is what to expect. This is what's going to happen when you go. The same thing he told Moses. God never sends us anywhere blindly. He never sends us anywhere blindly. See? But reasoning keeps us out of the will of God. How we think. See? How we think. How we see things. See? Think that things ought to be. See? Another powerful person in the Bible. Prophet of God. And God told him, just simply speak. Simply speak. So turn with me to Ezekiel. Go into Ezekiel chapter 37. Familiar passage of scripture for a lot of you Bible scholars. And it was just a simple command to Ezekiel. Just a very simple command to Ezekiel. He said, Ezekiel, speak to these bones. That's what he told him. He said, Ezekiel, speak to these bones. That's all you need to do. He just asked him a simple question. Ezekiel chapter 37. He said, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out of the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Now, mind you, Ezekiel is not a new prophet. This is not new to him. He's been prophesying all over the place. He's been bound up for 3 days, lay on this side, lay on that side, cook your food over there. He's done all of these things already. But now God is just asking him to speak in a situation that Ezekiel just didn't know. Hey, like Moses, there ain't nobody going to listen to me, but you telling me to speak to some dry bones. See? And he said it too, and he said, and caused me to pass by them round and about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Ezekiel looking at an impossible situation. He's looking at a valley of just dry bones. People been dead a while. See? See? People been dead a while. So God is telling him to speak. Speak, Ezekiel. Open your mouth. Just talk. Tell him to live. See? And so In verse 3, he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? He asked Ezekiel questions, like, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou know, God, you know. I don't know if they can live or not. They dead. They dried. See, Ezekiel was smart. He knew he wanted to say, no, I don't think so. But he said, Lord, you know, because I really don't know. But, you know, you able to do anything. So you know. And then he said unto Ezekiel, Ezekiel, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That's where a lot of us make our mistakes. We reason because we're reasoning out of our human nature. We're reasoning on what we think that we can do. But none of this, even with Moses, even with Isaiah, and here an example with Ezekiel. Here it is. It's not about us. It's about the word of God. And sometimes, too many times, we omit, we leave out that equation. We leave out that equation that it's God. It's not us. It is not us. It is God that doeth, who worketh in us and who worketh through us. See? He says, hear the word of God. This is what you say unto these bones. Thus saith the Lord God unto these dry bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Ezekiel, all I need you to do is repeat after me. This is the word of God. Make an affirmation unto these bones. Make a decree unto these bones. And what you say, I will honor it. I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Nowhere in this chapter, nowhere in this book, did it say that you shall know that I am Ezekiel. No. He said, you shall know that I am the Lord. You're going to know. See? Because these bones are going to get up. And they're going to live. In verse 7, Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 7, he says, Ezekiel says, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. In other words, things started getting in order. Things start coming together just as God had purposed it. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they might live. Again, verse 10, Ezekiel says, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. See? An exceeding great army. See, sometimes we don't understand what is in us until, like I said before, we get up and move and do what God has called us to do. He not asking us to be God. He is God. He's just asking us to get up and do the work. That's all he's asking us. He's asking us to get up and do the work. I don't need you to do more than that. Just do what I say. What I tell you to say, and I will move. Don't speak out of your flesh. Don't speak out of your carnal nature. Don't speak out of your own mind. Speak what I told you to say. And I guarantee you, because I am God, and I am not a man that I should lie, it's going to happen. So what are you afraid of? Why are you standing here making all of these excuses to no avail? Because if I sent you, then guess what? You're going to have to go. If I called you, guess what? You're going to have to go. See, you're just not going to not go. You're not going to have the opportunity to reason away purpose. See, that's when you're in conversation with God. That's when you're in conversation with the Father. And he has given you the opportunity to be great, to do his will in the earth. And if it's ordained, there is no way that you're going to just excuse yourself out of it. I'm sorry. See? We speak, God is speaking life to us, and we're speaking death to ourselves. See, but how many know that God's word is true, and it shall not return to him void? Isaiah 55:11, he says, so are the words that cometh forth out of my mouth. They shall not return unto me void, but they shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. See, it's going to prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. It's not only going to accomplish it, but it's going to prosper in it. It's going to accomplish more than what you thought it was going to accomplish. You're going to see more in you than what you thought or what you knew was on the inside of you when you begin to just move, to just be obedient to that which I have called you to do. We spend too much time speaking death to ourselves rather than speaking life. As it says in Proverbs 18:21-23, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. See? Proverbs 21, again, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. In other words, whatever you are speaking to yourself, whether you're speaking death or whether you're speaking life, whatever fruit you bear from what you say is what you're going to eat of. So if you're constantly, in other words, if you're constantly speaking negativity to yourself, guess what? You're going to reap negativity to yourself. But if you're speaking life, if you're speaking the positive things, if you're speaking that the word of God is going to be accomplished in your life, then guess what? That is what you draw to yourself. But when you're always walking around in a defeatist mindset, when you're always reasoning that which you cannot do, when you're always reasoning, hey, I don't know if I could do this. Hell, I know God said this. I know God said that I could do it, but hey, no. If he said it, then it is so. If you have faith, faith means you get up, you're obedient to God's word, and you move on that word. See, you move on that word. You're just not gonna sit there and say, well, God, I know you coming through one day. It look impossible, but I don't know if you're able. Looks as if someone has a comment. Let me see. Can I let them in?
Hello,
caller. This is Blog Talk Radio. What's your name?
This is Craig.
Hi, Craig. Did you have a question or a comment?
No, I just want to get in on this with you. You know what I'm saying? You're talking, and I like to talk too. You know what I'm saying? Because
okay.
I got abilities. And God gave me these abilities. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, oh, my goodness. You know, isn't it wonderful that we get to listen because we can hear Yahweh speaking to us through his word, which he made alive. So we's alive in him.
Exactly.
And when you're Yeah, and when you're in the body of Christ, like we are, we don't argue, we don't fight, and we don't debate.
No, the word the word of God, the word of God speaks for itself.
Let me just shoot this out there. You know what I'm saying? Let me get some time on the microphone, and then we can and I can just get off the microphone. You know what I mean? But let me get mine, okay? Because this is what love does. You understand what I'm saying? Love generates love. So I got to be doing what I do. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what matters most to me. And when I break it down so people can see what I'm saying, and they, when they see what I'm saying, they know I ain't playing no games, because now they can take a look and see where I'm coming from, and I'm coming from a heart.
Mm-hmm.
God gave me a new heart, a new life, okay? And what I'm talking about is what he's doing. I ain't talking about me, you understand?
Right.
So, but if you want to say something, let me go ahead and let me just back up for a minute and let you go ahead and say something, because I get rude sometimes.
No. I was just agreeing with what you said. Go ahead and finish.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I'm talking about love. You know what I mean? Like you doing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now let me show you something about this thing, because God showed me this. The Spirit. You know what I'm saying? God said we ain't got to go to no place. We ain't got to go outside of ourselves to no place outside of ourselves. Nada. To have a relationship with him, it's on the inside. I just want to make this clear, because I don't got enough time to mess around with none of this other stuff. Inside of who you are, you know what I'm saying? If I want to talk to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I approach you, and you don't know me, right? You don't know me. So
right.
you ain't gonna open up to me. Hell no, you ain't gonna open up to me. Okay? Because you don't know me. Okay, now this
right.
is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a relationship. Okay, now if you're gonna have a relationship with somebody outside of yourself, right? If you're gonna have a
okay.
relationship with somebody outside of yourself, they have to know that, and I'm not talking about no BS. We had cut through all that, because we ain't talking about that. We're talking about this person. Either they're going to open themselves up to you or they're not. And if they are going to open themselves up to you, this is why. Because they trust you, because you're honest, and you pay attention to feelings, because you understand how important feelings are when you want to get down to the heart of the matter. Correct?
Right. Right.
Okay. If you want to know any more, you can buy my book for $19.99. On sale today.
All right, thank you, Colin, for your
comment. I'm just kidding. I had to throw that in there, because to me it's funny, you know, to say that. But anyway, no, seriously though. No, I'm trying to be serious, and I am serious. You know what I mean? You can tell that I'm serious, but I have a way of having my narrative. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. But I know that what you're trying to do, and I know you're trying to do something, you know what I mean? But I'm thinking when I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, look at, okay, God's word, right? You open up the word of God, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Precept upon precept.
Hold up. Do you know, or everything that you, not that you, that, that you know, we could know a bunch of stuff, right? Right?
Okay.
We can know a bunch of stuff. So everything that you know, you always have to remember something. You have to put that aside, because God said that that his grace is going to humble you. Okay? Because the reason why he wants to humble you, because remember what Christ did, right? Christ?
Yep.
Christ, when he was above Jerusalem, okay, the heavenly realm above Jerusalem, as we read in the story, Christ come down. What he had to do is he had to set aside what he already had, which is his glory. He didn't
right.
set aside his deity. He didn't set aside his deity. He set aside his glory. So the Father
mm-hmm.
had more had more glory. Amen?
Right.
Okay. Okay, so this is what he's showing me, spiritually speaking. We can't do this in the flesh, man. This is a spiritual
thing.
No,
you can't do it in
the
flesh.
Nah, mm-hmm. man. So don't even try to go there with me, because I'm going to get on you about that, and you're going to like me no more. Maybe you'll love me. Who knows? Listen. So Christ had to come down. So Christ set aside his glory. The Father had more glory. And that was showing us today in the 21st century what he did back then. So let's keep that clear like a mirror, okay? Because we can't get messed up right now.
Right?
Right? Okay.
Okay.
So Christ, so when he came down, he became a servant. See, he put on a, he came in the
mm-hmm.
likeness of, he came in the likeness, let me say it again. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh, okay? Remember the serpent?
Mm-hmm.
Remember the serpent?
He came in one
of God's creatures that by nature can't change. You understand what that means, right? Can't change. That's one of God's animals. That's what they do by nature because they can't change. But Christ came in the likeness of sinful flesh and was changing man, changing. See, he changes who we are. That's what his word does.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. So now back to what I was saying earlier. When you open up the word of God, amen?
Mm-hmm.
The only reason, look at a lot of people, they open it up, they don't know anything. There's other people that open up and they know that they're sitting at the Messiah's feet. Spiritually speaking, this word of God, there's more that's being said than what's written on these pages. And the more that's being said is that person's spiritual food to eat, not go force on other people like these religious people be doing in the 21st century. You don't
All
know
right.
that.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. We're going to get back to our topic on reason, and I appreciate you calling in. Hang on and listen. All right. We appreciate that. We love your comments. We love your viewpoints. But today we are talking about reasoning. We're talking about the purpose of God and how we sometimes reason our way out of doing what God calls us to do. Now, the brother did have a point. You know, it has to be done by the Spirit, which is what I said earlier. But the last point that we made was that in Proverbs 18, it says life and death are in the power of the tongue. What are you speaking to yourself? Are you speaking the word of God? Are you taking that which God has said about you and moving on it, not just sitting there, not reasoning out why you can't do it, coming up with excuses, as I gave the examples of Moses, Isaiah, and Ezekiel. They reasoned why they couldn't do it. I said, no, because I've equipped you with this. No, you can't do it because I've given you these qualities. Greater, in other words, greater is he that is on the inside of you than all of the opposition that is in the world. There is nothing that you could possibly say back to God that would convince him that you can't do that which he has ordained you, that which he has created you to do, or who he has created you to be. Your logical mind, your reasoning mind, see, will take all of your situation, will look at all of your situations, will look at all of your circumstances, see, and cause you to think that this is impossible. But remember, scripture says that all things are possible to what? To them that believe. And as I said, if you really believe, you get up and you move on it. You don't sit there. You get up and you move on it. You get up and you begin to put your hands to work. You go in the direction of that which God has spoken to you. Ezekiel, immediately when he said, I don't know if these bones can live, God, you know. God told him, Ezekiel, say this. Ezekiel, speak that. And immediately that which God had told Ezekiel could happen, Ezekiel began to see with his eyes what was already down on the inside of him. We will never see what God has for us if we never get up and move, if we never get up and put our hands to it. It's a spiritual thing that God has already spoken before he sent us to the earth. Because remember, in Genesis, he said, it's finished. And on the seventh day, he did what? He rested. So everything that was in the earth, everything that needed to be done in the earth was already finished. He told everything in the earth to do what? Recreate after its own kind. In other words, I done gave you the start of it. Everything that is in the earth has a seed. That seed is going to recreate after its own kind. If it was an orange then, it was an orange seed then, it's an orange seed now. You plant an orange seed, you're going to get an orange tree. You're not going to grow apples on that orange tree. So whatever God has spoken down on the inside of you, whatever he has placed down on the inside of you, you can't change that. The only way you change that is, as I said, you reason your way out of that which God has purposed for your life. You make excuses. You don't go. You don't move on it. See? Every seed needs water. Every seed, like, we know that Jesus Christ is the what? Is the light of the world. The water that feeds that light down on the inside of you, that is the water, is the word of God. And we water ourselves daily by delving in and looking, as the brother said, for understanding of that word as we study it, that God will speak to us. See? And it's not a solitary thing. See, it's not a solitary thing. Because like he said, he made a good point. If you don't know somebody, you have to do what? You have to come into knowing them. See? Take Job in verse 42, in chapter 42. Job, at the end of his trial, he had no idea that he was being tested. But at the end of the book, in chapter 42, Job said, "Now I know the Lord. Before I only knew of you. But now, God, I know you." See, because I've been through some things. We've had an intimate relationship. See, so now I know who I am in you. Before, I only knew of the blessings. I only knew of the good part. Never knew that you would take me through some tests. Never knew that you would allow me to suffer for your glory. But then if you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, what did he do? As the brother said, he said that Christ came down, he didn't have his glory. But when he died on the cross, when his work was done, he said, "Father, give me back my glory. Return back unto me that which what I laid down." See? That men might be saved. See? Job chapter 42. Then Job, verse 1, he said, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou can do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood." I done said things, God, that I didn't understand. Things that were too wonderful for me, which I knew nothing about. Job began to repent. Job began to repent for some of the things that he said. He was just talking and talking, trying to justify himself to his friends, which he didn't need to do, because what? We are justified in Christ. You are who God says you are. That's the end of it. There's no reason for debate. There's no need to argue. You just need to know. See? So Job is saying, I spoke on things that was just too wonderful for me that I didn't know anything about. See? Now I know you. Now I know you. Before that, I didn't really know who you were. In verse 4, Job 42 and 4, he say, "Here I beseech thee and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. See, he heard of God. See, but before he went through all those trials, all those testing, see, he could not see the hand of God in his life. But when everything was taken away, when he lost his children, when his wife came to him and told him, why don't you just curse your God and die? And Job told her, you speak like a foolish woman. See, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Still, blessed be the name of the Lord. In the good times, in the bad times. See, Job didn't reason his way out of who God was. He just didn't know every aspect of God. He wasn't familiar with any aspect of God except God being provider. He didn't know God as a healer. See? He didn't know the different aspects of God until he was put in a situation where he didn't have anybody but God. He didn't know God as a restorer. See? Because he never had a need to what? To be restored. He was always blessed. See? He was always blessed. So now here Job comes in verse 42, and he say, now I see. Now I see who you are. See? Now I see who you are. Before, he was just trying to reason his way. Why is all this stuff happening to me? I wish I wasn't never born. I wish I never opened the mother's womb. All of this stuff. But it was God's purpose for his life. Because remember, in chapter 1, when Satan came with the sons of God, and God asked him, he said, oh, I've been going to and fro in the earth. And God says, Satan didn't say, God said it. He said, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, why? I can't touch him. You got a hedge of protection around him. In other words, Job is always blessed. I cannot touch him. He said, okay, I remove the hedge and you can do whatever you want to do. He said, yeah, and when you do that, he's going to curse you to your face. That didn't happen. See? So then Satan comes again. After Job has lost all his sons and all his daughters, all his possessions, he didn't curse God to his face. See? So he said, Satan comes back again. He said, well, you know, if you touch his, you know, you touch his body, he'll curse you. Because ain't no man going to suffer for you and still serve you, God. This Satan reasoning with God on a man's life. So God gives him permission. See? Gives him permission. He said, but you can't take his life. Touch his body. But you cannot take his life. And he did. And we know if you read the book of Job, and see where I'm talking about here is in Job chapter 2, when Satan comes back and he says, skin for skin, 2 and 4. See? So this was the second day. And again, chapter 2, verse 1, he said, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan again came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence hast thou come? And Satan answered the Lord, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down. And the Lord said, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect man and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. God said that he was upright. So Job didn't have a choice but to be what? Upright. Because remember, God's word is not going to return to him void. He said he hates evil. He hates evil. See? And even though you done took everything from him, he's still praising me. And in verse 4, Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yeah, all that a man has, he will give for his life. In other words, yeah, you know, those little worldly possessions, you know, that don't mean nothing. But if I touch his skin, if I touch his body, if I make him sick, if I give him a terminal illness, he's going to blame you, God, and he's going to curse you, God, and he's going to turn away from you. This is Satan reasoning with God. Don't you know? Didn't he not understand that it was God who created Job in his image and in his purpose? It was God who called Job upright and said that he feareth me, he feareth God. See, because it was his creation. He knew what was down on the inside of him. What looks impossible for us, remember, is not impossible for God. So sometimes we just need to stop thinking and focus on the word of God. Remember that which what God says about us, concerning us. What are his promises about healing when you're sick? What are his promises about provision when you are in need? What are his promises about finances? See? Haggai 8:11, the gold is mine, the silver is mine, thus saith the what? The Lord of hosts. What does he say in Matthew? Anything that you ask for in my name, believing so, I shall what? I shall give unto thee. I am going to give it to you. Do you not understand that? See? I'm going to give it to you. So don't worry about it. All you need, see, I know. He said, don't worry about what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat. For your Father, which is in heaven, he knows that you are in need of these things. So what are you thinking about? Haven't I already told you that I will bless you? Haven't I already told you? What are you worrying about? What are you thinking about? There's no need to think. That's why today, just stop thinking. Stop reasoning. And simply believe God. And step out on the word of God. Because whatever he said will surely come to pass. And I want to read you something in Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and I think it explains a lot on mindfulness, you know, because sometimes we just let the cares of this world take us away from that which God has purposed for our lives. It takes us away. It causes us to forget. It causes us not to be mindful of that which God has called us to. That which God has created us for. Remember, in Genesis, he said he gave man dominion. That dominion was restored in Christ Jesus. See? And this is Paul speaking to the church of Ephesus. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. In other words, value that which was you were called for. Don't diminish it by the thoughts in your mind thinking that you can't do it. It said, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, which is what the brother was talking about, in love, because that's the only way that we're going to do it. See? Because the very essence of that is the very essence of who God is. God is love. See? John 3:16, we quote it all the time, but we never examine the scripture. See, it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, we will barely give a quarter, let alone our only love, our only son, our only child for a sinful people in order to save somebody else. We're not going to do that. We're going to say what? Oh, no, they're not worth it. In our human nature, we're going to say they're not worth it. I'm not doing that. You'll be all right. See? But God did. That's what he did. That's that unconditional love, so we could be restored back unto him. It says, with all loneliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing. That means we're going to go through some stuff for this gospel of Christ. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto everyone is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. As the brother was saying, he said he has ability. Yes, he has God-given abilities. We have God-given abilities that God himself gave to us before he even placed us in our mother's womb, as he told Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, before I knew thee, before you were even formed in your mother's womb, I knew thee and called you to be a prophet unto the nations. I already called you before your mom and dad got together and even created you. See, because you were a thought first, just waiting for the appointed time for you to become flesh in the earth. See? In Ephesians 4, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Remember? He went to hell and took the keys to death, hell, and the what? And the grave. He that ascended is also the same that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And he gave some to be apostles, and some to be prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? Why did he establish all these gifts in the earth? See, it was for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So you can't sit in your house alone with your Bible and think that you're going to be perfected in God. Because if you are like Job and you don't know those other aspects of God, who's going to teach you? Who's going to reveal those things unto you? See? That's why Hebrews 10:25, it says, forsake ye not the assembling of yourselves, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. See? In other words, sometimes you need somebody to encourage you because you can't always do it on your own. That's why he calls these gifts into the body. See? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Remember, Job said, I didn't know you, but now I know you. I knew a part of you. I didn't know all of you. See? I didn't know all of you. But now that I went through this trial, see, now that I've been through this, now that you allowed me to suffer a little bit, as the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver you out of what? He will deliver you out of them all. See? Proverbs 14:12, he said, there is a way which seems right to a man, but in the end, it is the way of death. And then Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean unto your own understanding. That's that reasoning thing. See? You reason yourself out of the will of God, reasoning away what the true word of God is saying to your life. That's what reasoning does. That is what reasoning does. See? Back to Ephesians 4:12. It says, until, verse 13 says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. See? You're going to have some people out there that are trying to deceive you about this very gospel. See? But when we come together and we test the Spirit, as it says in James, by the Spirit, to see that it is of God, see, Then we can do what verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Everybody got a part. You have a responsibility to work effectually in the ministry that God has given you. If it's just sweeping the floors of the church, hey, do it in excellency. Do it not to glorify man, but to glorify God, because God has entrusted you to clean his temple. See? Verse 17 says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk no more not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Don't walk with the reasoning and trying to justify what you do or explain away what you do or debate what you do with other people. Just obey the word of God. Just accept the word of God. See? It says that they're having their understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. See? Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. See? And they think that it's okay. Because they have a reason that you can serve Christ and I can still be a part of this world. I can still do what I want to do all during the week. Go to church on Sunday and say, God, forgive me, and I'm okay. Then go back to being that same. It says that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. So how can you still live in sinful nature? See? That's why I say in 19, who being past feeling have given them, just given you voluntarily, you reasoned away. That you have to obey the word of God. Verse 20, Paul says, but you have not so learned Christ, if so that you have heard of him and having been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, ain't that what I just said? You are a new creation, which is corrupt according to its deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We're still talking about mindfulness. Stop thinking. Believe the word of God. 24 says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, don't be upset with people and still take it to bed and wake up thinking about it in the morning. No, forgive them people and go to bed and have a peaceful rest. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give the enemy any room. See, back in the day, it was this old song to say, don't let the devil ride. Because if you let him ride, he might want to drive. That's it right there. 28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceedeth out of your mouth. Remember Proverbs, life and death is in the power of the tongue. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Aren't you a hearer when you're speaking of it to yourself? Aren't you a hearer when you're talking about yourself? So speak edifying words. Speak words that's going to edify you. Don't convince yourself that you can't do something when God says that you can, when he tells you that all things are possible. See? Edify yourself in the word of God. It says that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So even when you're hearing yourself with these negative thoughts, say, no, I'm not going to think that. That's not what God said about me. Let me minister some grace unto myself. Let me strengthen myself in my most holy faith. See? And it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. See, if you have the Holy Spirit of God, you are sealed. See, you are sealed. Did you know that? See? Ephesians 4, verse 31, final two verses of this chapter, 31 and 32. It said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speak be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. The character of Christ. Ephesians 4 lays out exactly how we are able to walk in this calling in God, how we are able to not only edify ourselves, but uplift our brothers and sisters in Christ. And even those around us who are not saved, that they might be saved by our character. Because we know who we are. See? We know who we are. In Christ Jesus. Or as Job said, I didn't know before, but I know now. See? So there's no reason to try and think our way out of doing or think our way out of being who God has said that we are, who God has said that we can and should be in Him. Not in us. It's not about us. It's not about a fleshly thing. See? It's a spiritual thing. Taking on the characteristics of Christ that we may edify an entire body of Christ. But first, we got to let this mind that is in Christ Jesus richly dwell in us. We got to stop leaning to our own understanding and understand and accept that which the Lord God has said about us. See? See? He has given us dominion. He has given us power over all the powers of the enemy. See? So why should we be defeated? Why should we be defeated? We can't walk in defeat. And God has given us dominion. And those two things just really, they don't go together. See? Deuteronomy 28 and 13. The promises of God. It said, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which I command ye this day to observe and to do them, this is your place in God. See? You are the head and not the tail. He has given you dominion. And that dominion exists from everlasting to everlasting. See? Well, that's the end of our broadcast today. I hope you have learned something. I hope this word has edified your spirit, edified your soul, and that you take something from it. If you want to go back and read any of the scriptures, I posted them in the chat room. The last scripture was Deuteronomy 28. You can look at that. Before that was Ephesians 4. Previous to that, we had Proverbs 18, 21 through 23. Before that was Ezekiel 37, 1 through 11. Before that, we had Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. And then the beginning, we started out with Moses at Exodus 4, 1 through 7. This has been Pastor Leona Ross with Blog Talk Radio, If My People. We're going to take you out of here with Sinash, I Know Who I Am. You guys have a blessed week. Stay safe. The blessings, may the blessings of the Lord follow you and take you over in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. Until next week, blessings on you. We'll be right back.
Gospel.